This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Boy. Johnny G, John Gabrus. I am not in the High and Mighty studios, guys. I am in the HeadGum East studios, joined by my nearly silent engineer, Nick Rad. Shout out to him. And first-time guest, guy I've been trying to get on here for a while, had to fly to his city to, well, nearby. I'm in Brooklyn. Oh, you live in Brooklyn now?
No, I'm in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I still picture you living on 8th Avenue in in that weird, sketchy neighborhood right there.
Yeah, that's now has a Dunkin' Donuts underneath it.
Oh, instead of the Chinese food
place? The Chinese place is now a Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, upgrade? Possibly? I don't know. Guys, that voice you're hearing is Charlie Todd, comedian, podcaster, and the creator, inventor of fun of improv everywhere. What's your title in your email?
It's like, oh yeah, I think I say
fun haver,
founder, director, organizer of fun.
Organizer,
I think, is my signature file.
And we're gonna be talking about a subject near and dear to both of our hearts: beer.
Yeah.
Specifically, we were talking about what we should do. We were gonna maybe try a bunch of different beers, but instead we got a bunch of beers to drink. But mostly we're gonna be talking about beer because we're a little bit, you're more so than me, a bit of a beer snob.
I got now deep into beer a few years back.
Snob is not the right word because that's unfair, because I'll smash Miller Lights all day long too.
I won't, so I can be called a beer snob.
fair enough. So we were going to talk about maybe our history of beer, but I'm going to start off by pouring myself a little bit of the thing I was most excited about, which is the Freigeist Otter Kolong, unfiltered Kolsch.
Yeah, it's a really eclectic selection of beers here. I'm excited to try some of these.
Yeah, I've never had any of them, which is actually a rare thing for me to be. I mean, I've had a Stillwater brewery before. But
yeah, I recognize most of these breweries.
It's one of those things where it's like, I just told Marika, who works at HeadGum, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm in another interview. Can you just spend around $50 on random beers? And so here we go.
Nice.
I'm going to pour myself an unfiltered Kolsch
cool.
first, because that's
I'll
one
take
of my
a little
favorites.
Bit of that. So I have a podcast that has the name Beer in the title, but I never get to talk about beer on it. So
I'm
really
excited.
Oh, right,
because it's a political podcast called Two Beers In.
Two Beers In, yeah, shout out to
that. And that's just sort of like a buzzed, like you get people buzzed and start ranting about
it. Yeah, the premise of that is that we have like, we actually have Katie Turr from MSNBC on our next show coming up. So we have like, people from MSNBC have been saying yes to it, which is amazing. And then comedians, a lot of like writers for the political shows, and we chug two beers at the top of the show, and then we talk about politics.
Oh, that's awesome. So that's awesome. That seems right in my wheelhouse.
So drinking beer on microphone is my thing. Mm. Well, that's pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome. I guess the unfiltered part is bothering me maybe a little bit in the taste. I'm getting a little bit of the unfiltered.
It's 4.8% alcohol.
Kolsch, a beer that comes from Cologne, Germany, meant to be. I love a good Kolsch glass, like the tall, thin.
Yeah,
and like you just smash down like 5 ounces at a time.
Like a thin highball glass.
Yeah, exactly. Like a swizzle glass where they would put like the crushed iced kind of cocktails in.
Yeah, I went to Cologne
Collins
once.
Glass, they're called.
Collins glass.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I went to Cologne once. Yeah, have you been to
No,
Cologne?
I've been to Munich, but not, that's it. I went to Oktoberfest to get my beer snobbery out there,
which
is, by the way, the worst beer. It's watered down. Lager on purpose,
right.
But it's a celebration of beer.
It would be fun to go to it, but I don't like Oktoberfest styles of beer.
Oh, that's the thing. They're not like the Marzen Oktoberfest
style. Oh, they're not? Okay.
No,
I don't like the Marzens.
I'm a fan of the Marzens, but not the super sweet ones anymore. That was like my foray. Well, we'll get into this, but that was my
foray in a good beer.
Yeah, foray. It was like, I like an Oktoberfest. But the beers they serve at Oktoberfest are like very light lagers or pills, pretty much a pilsner more or less,
because
but
they're
slightly watered
20?
down, because you're supposed to drink them by the stein, right. And I was drinking 10 40 ounce pitchers of beer a day. Like, that's, you would die if that was like 8% alcohol,
if it wasn't like Michelob Ultra or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, so in Cologne, like, technically Kolsch should come from Cologne, and they have these breweries and brew pubs, and they serve you one, and they're in these like these Collins glasses like you described that are maybe 6 ounces, and they will, once you finish one, they will keep giving you one unless you put your coaster on top, because the reason it's served like that is because it's meant to be drank really quickly, because the carbonation starts to fizzle out, and you're supposed to drink it cold. And
right, and it's supposed to be right from a tap, not from a bottle or anything like that. And you just smash it down, and it's cold. Kolsch is like, when I found out about Kolsch, I was like, this is what I've been looking for. And that's sort of my new the area I'm in beer now. But let's go back and let's talk.
Okay.
All right. So I started drinking when I was like 12, like every weekend, like starting at like 13, seventh grade, whatever that was. And beer was just like whatever you could get, whether it was 40s or fucking six pack of Lasers or whatever, malt liquor.
I started drinking, probably around the same time because I'm a little bit older than you, and I was probably 16, 17, like junior in high school is when I started drinking a little bit, like a couple of beers at a party.
Yeah.
Still maybe had to drive home, so drink two Bud Lights and then a bunch of water and didn't drive home kind of thing.
Luckily for me, I started drinking before I started driving, so I was really able to hone in and get my binge drinking under control.
But yeah, I remember like King Cobra would be a thing. Like you'd get a King Cobra for 99 cents. When I was in high school
and they were like 24
college.
Ounces and they were like 6.0% alcohol. Yeah. You'd be like, perfect. And that's all you needed. Drink room temperature. We used to pay the pizza guy at Super Pizza an extra $20 to buy us four 40s for like $2 a piece. So he was making like an insane amount of money.
Nice. I was the one in my group that had a fake ID. I had gone to Harvard Summer School, which was a pre-college program at Harvard for like rising seniors. And there was this kid who got an international student ID. It's called an ISIC, and who actually was from another country. And we found out that you don't have to like show your passport or anything. You just say what your birthday is.
Oh yeah.
So then this other dude, just this random white dude in my dorm, went and said he was from Australia, and he like did his Australian accent for me. It was so terrible. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go do this. So I went and said I was from England.
did you do a British accent?
I did a British accent. Yes. So then I continued to do a British accent like my whole senior year of high school, freshman year of college, at like every Harris Teeter, every like
You were constantly showing an international student ID.
I was showing my ID. I was buying like two 24 packs of Coors Light for all of my friends, you know, saying like,
oh,
all right,
cheerio.
Yeah, okay. Is credit card okay? You know? And it actually helped because in, you know, South Carolina, where I'm from, people have never heard a British accent. Like the guy working at the Citgo was like, oh man, where are you from? What is this ID? All right, well, it checks out the way you're talking.
I remember getting into a bar with a Hofstra ID that just said I was a student at Hofstra and that I was 21, and Hofstra had two F's in it. Like, and I was getting into bars across the street from Hofstra with that ID by the time I was like 15 or 16.
With it spelled wrong.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And I think I have a weird beer angle because when I was like 16 or 17, me and my best friend Sanford started going to a bar with our friend Mike's older brother Nick, who was like 26 and we were 17, but we were friends, and he was just like, we were around, his brother was busy. He's like, do you guys want to go get beer? And we were like, anything to go to a bar. And we would never get ID'd because he was such good friends with the bartender.
Perfect.
So we started hanging out at this bar. But this bar was called Effin' Groovin', and it's on Long Island, on Sunrise. It still exists. And it's a beer snob bar. They have a sign that says they serve Bud Light down the street. They Coors Light is the only thing they have.
And this was true in the late 90s?
This was 96,
wow.
97. No,
wow.
Maybe a little later. Maybe it was like 99, 2000. But through now, they have they wear shirts that have the Bud Light and with a Ghostbusters logo through it and shit like that. And the guy who took us there was rich, and he would buy us all our drinks. We were fucking
so. What was your like first?
We were
nice
drinking
beer.
Chimay's, dude.
Okay,
all
so
the
it was like Belgian stuff.
Yeah, it was all Belgian stuff, and we were just picking beers that were the most expensive or the highest. But I was drinking all, and I learned all about raspberry lambic and this and that. And all of a sudden, and this is before I've gone to college.
Right.
So amazing. I go to college, and then you're just drinking 30 racks of Busch for $5.99.
Right.
And I was like, I have like actual beer taste now. Like this, like, but it worked in my favor in that those light beers do not affect me to date. Like I can have like 20 Rolling Rocks at the beach and be fine.
And your tolerance is high.
Yeah, my tolerance is high, and I'm 300 pounds.
So it's interesting because, like, I feel like in the 90s and the early 2000s, like, nice beer was all international beer, right?
Right.
Like, it's so funny to me to look back on the categories of domestic versus import.
Right.
And a lot of crappy bars in New York still have, like, domestics are
$4.
$4, imports are $6. It's like, what the fuck does that mean?
That means you know, a Bud Light is $4 and a Corona is $6.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. or like a Sam Adams is $6 at these bars. It's like, how the fuck is
that's
that
not
an import? But now, first of all, there's been such a consolidation in beer where Corona is owned by the same company that owns Negro Modelo, that owns, you know, 16 other beers.
And even like some of our favorite microbrews, quote unquote, craft breweries, quote unquote, are owned by big conglomerates as
well. That's a huge thing. Yeah. But it's funny, like now I think the best beer in the world is made in the United States.
I agree.
Specifically in the Northeast. It used to be California. Yeah. If you'd asked me 4 years ago, I'd said California.
If you asked me 4 years ago, I would have said Pacific Northwest. I still might. Mm. I think like the Oregon breweries, and I guess NorCal to a degree, but the Oregon breweries, like Deschutes, I think is making some of the fucking best beer.
I've never been to Portland, so I haven't had like the super local stuff there.
Okay, I think they're doing it right. Yeah. But the Northeast is strong as hell too.
Yeah, the new Northeast style IPA, popularized by Hetty Topper, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Hetty Topper may be the first in that, but now maybe surpassed by other half brewery in Gowanus, Innerborough Brewery in Brooklyn, some of the stuff that Single Cut's doing in Brooklyn.
Right. I mean, Brooklyn has been killing it for a while, yeah. too. Yeah.
Oh, but the Brooklyn Brewery?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they're like, yeah. I mean,
they're so, like, a, what's the difference? What's the step in between microbrewery and mass? They're like a macro brewery.
They're a really big company. And I think they sold like 45% or something to a Swedish company. Actually, I was in Sweden a few years ago and Brooklyn Brewery was everywhere.
Oh, that's really
and this
interesting.
Is before they, and then I think that's why they sold to a Swedish company. They just like got really popular over in parts of Scandinavia.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this bar only has Brooklyn Brown, Brooklyn East India Pale Ale, and Brooklyn Lager. Okay, I guess I'm going to have one of these beers. But yeah, I mean, so Brooklyn breweries, I put in like the Sierra Nevada category or maybe the Stone category of like brewers that I have huge respect for because they were the first.
Were my step. Like, I think you could also argue that Sam Adams was my first step into. Once I started drinking regular Sam Adams, I was like, oh, this beer tastes more like interesting than Bud Light.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what's Oktoberfest? And then now Sam has like 1,000 varietals that they're trying to capitalize on every. Like, do you like blood orange? Do you like the taste of wood? We haven't.
But those, Dogfish Head, I would put in that category too. Those like forebearers of the craft movement as we know it now.
Right.
Gotta respect them. You know, love those beers. Those beers were all my gateway beers into the beers I drink now.
And I would still be happy to see the Flying Dog Pale Ale at a party or something like that.
Yeah. Look, if I'm at a wedding and any of these brewers are an option, I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's better than I expected.
Right. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale specifically has plummeted from like what I thought was the best beer you can get in college to now I'm like, I'm bummed that that's the craft brew that they choose at UCBLA.
Yeah.
And free cooler for performers, it's always Bud Light and Sierra Nevada.
We have Lagunitas now at UCB Chelsea.
Yeah, which is great, awesome. Which is a good one. Yeah, yeah.
But Lagunitas, 49% owned by Heineken now.
Ugh, Heineken. That was the beer my dad drank growing up, so I always thought it, like, and he rarely drank beer. He mostly drank wine, and he would always be like, oh, I could go for an ice-cold Heineken. And in my head, I just equated Heineken with, like, this is a good beer.
Yeah, everyone did.
And I had it, and I was like, I don't like this. I'm afraid to say I don't like it.
Heineken and Amstel are fucking awful.
I'll take Bud Light over them.
Yes, I would rather have PBR. I would rather have Narragansett. I would rather have Bud Light or Miller Lite.
Right, for sure. I'm with you. That's awesome.
It's just like, it's got the qualities of those shitty light lagers,
right?
But it also like kind of smells like piss and like
it tastes skunked. I went to the Heineken brewery in Amsterdam when I went to Munich for my bachelor party, Amsterdam for my brother's bachelor party.
Got it. And there's like a ride there, right?
Yeah.
It's like
you get in like a fucking like Back to the Future type where you're like, you're a Heineken bubble. And you're like, it's like inner space. It's insane. It was crazy going to a bachelor party in Amsterdam and being like, I've never been there before and might not ever get to go again. So I was like, I want to go to the Van Gogh Museum. I mean, I'm not going to take my brother's meathead friends to go to the Anne Frank House, but I talked them into the Van Gogh Museum.
Anne Frank House bachelor party.
I ate a space cake and then was just wandering around. And literally two of the five guys I was with were like, we'll just be sitting on this bench outside the museum. We'll see you guys when you get out. It's like, rather than go through the museum,
Museum next time we're here. Yeah.
They just didn't even care. And I'm like stoned as fuck going, you know, they have potato eaters here, man. That's like one of my favorites. You got to come see it. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
But to go back,
I hate those beers. And like there's still a disconnect.
I hate Corona. I've always hated Corona. Even like beachside when people are like, I love a Corona.
I'll stick up for Corona, especially on the beach and especially with a lime.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, that's not a beer that's like going to satisfy me if I'm looking to really drink beer or after a meal or something. But hey, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's hot. Corona's the beer in that category that I'll deal with.
See, I like, at that point, I'll like myself, back in the day would be, I would take a Keystone Light can, you know, something, a PBR can, something cold.
Well, so the reason that Heineken tastes skunky, or part of the reason, is because it's in a fucking green bottle.
And everyone knows that green glass is worse for a beer because it lets sun in.
Right, but everyone who knows what they're talking about knows that. Right, but it's just funny that like most people associate the green bottle with premium.
Right.
Because we've been marketed to think that Heineken is premium.
And Stella.
And Heineken is just the Bud Light of the Netherlands.
Right, right? Exactly.
It's everywhere. It's their beer. Yes. There's nothing nice about it. It's the same formula as like Budweiser.
The one thing I did find in Amsterdam is that most bars served Heineken, and they served Heineken or colder Heineken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, who would drink this anything but freezing?
Well, I remember the first time that I went to the UK.
And cask beer.
Like Guinness, or the cask beer, which is warm, but there's Guinness, and there's like Guinness super cold.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I had the same thing, like, well, I thought beer was supposed to be cold. I mean, I bought frosty mugs, you know, at Spencer's Guinness Gifts for my freezer.
Right. Stout and, Guinness makes sense to have, like, not ice cold, but, like, Heineken, could you imagine drinking Heineken, like, anything but frozen?
No, because it's fucking terrible.
Right,
and that's
right.
why you have to drink Coors Light cold. That's why you have to drink all of those bad beers cold, because they don't taste good.
Right. And the colder they are, the less you can taste them, because it's like slamming ice cream. You're just like, oh, thank God, it's refreshing.
And when I started drinking IPAs and double IPAs and really hoppy beers, I started to realize that like halfway through the beer is when it got great.
Oh, okay.
Now, part of that, I think a little bit is it because you're a little drunk.
Right.
Because you're drinking an 8% beer and you've had 6 ounces of it. But the other part of it is that it's warmed up a little bit.
Yes.
And really good brewers like Carton Brewery, which is in New Jersey.
Dude. You're about to say, this is the beer I've been chasing my whole life, is the Carton Boat Beer.
Oh, really? You mean you haven't found it?
No, I've had it, but I've only had it here.
Oh, yeah.
I live in Los Angeles now. I'm fucking dying for Carton Boat Beer.
People love boat.
Yeah.
It's probably, they're probably only distributed in this area for now. Yeah. A Carton Beer, they tell you the date that it was born on, and they tell you the temperature you should drink it at. Like, on the bottom of every beer, it says drink at 50 degrees. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do with that because I don't have like a thermometer in my house.
Not yet.
Maybe I should buy one. But it's like good to know.
Right.
Yeah. I respect that.
Well, it's interesting because if you see that the number is supposed to be if it seems warmer, you're like, well, I can maybe take this out of the fridge a minute, let it sit in a glass.
Put my hands around it for a little while.
And you want to crack open another one? What do you want to try next to go from Kohl's to?
Whatever's next.
You want to do this stout?
Save this for last because this is going to be insane.
Ale with natural flavor and an oak-aged coffee amber. That sounds disgusting, but I'll try it. Here's the Hollow Pilsner from Kent Falls Brewing. Let's try this.
To wrap up with this Frightgeist Kolsch that we had, I'm going to give it probably 3.75 stars in my Untappd app.
Oh, yeah. I have to get on this. I just don't have, like, the ability to track things, but you seem to love it.
You do have the ability. You have an app.
Right.
If you choose.
I don't have the drive to keep it up.
Right. No, it is sort of like an OCD, like, obsessive kind of thing.
Right, because I also get, like, that RPG mentality, like, video game mentality, where I'm like, I've got to try a different beer, even though I'm like, I like this beer on tap. I'm
It's like a Pokemon, like, kind of thing. Right, you got to get all of them.
Yeah, you're dragging your wife and son to, like, a random bar in, like, Gowanus, because they have the one thing you have.
Yeah. I've chilled out. I was crazy like a couple of years ago.
I think a couple years ago is maybe, were you show running a friend's show and you
the
were in
the
LA?
Night show,
you were in LA.
Yeah.
I think we went out. That's when I had known you were getting into beers because we had talked about it.
But
we were at Rustic and we drank regular beers and talked for like an hour and a half about other beers.
And I was grumbling at the choices.
Yeah, Rustic, and you were pretty much hot on that Untappd app.
Yeah, that was around the time where I did Don't Get Me Started, and I talked about beer on that podcast
as well.
R.I.P.
Oh, one of my favorite podcasts.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm straight up going to miss that podcast.
I am too. Will and Anthony are close friends, and I loved hearing them across the country every week.
Will and Anthony, I always said, are what I think cool older brothers are. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, oh, my older brother is so cool. They are not traditionally cool, but to my interest, they are my cool older brothers.
Totally.
They're my cool older brothers that I could kick the shit out of.
So anyway, Untappd is an iPhone app,
smartphone
app, it's like Foursquare for beer. You like check in to a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I will check into all these beers that we drink today. And I think I've had like 2,500 unique beers, and I started using the app in 2013. So over the last 4 years, I've had 2,500 unique beers. But I'm not an alcoholic,
that's 600 beers a year.
That's two a day. That's two
it's
a day.
Bad.
That's not bad.
It's completely reasonable.
A lot of it is, you know, I I'll go to a bar. I go to a lot of good beer bars. I'll order flights.
You get four 4 ounce beers.
Yeah. Or what I mean, when I was really obsessed with it, like, you know, my cousin is also into it. My cousin Colin, and you know, we'll go to a bar and be like, okay, you order this beer and I'll order that beer and I'll give you half of mine. Yeah, you get half of yours, and we'll both ask the bartender for a sample of these two beers.
Yeah,
and like,
that'll get us afford.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just amassing.
Yeah. There was a while where I was like at a bar being like, can I try this? Can I try that? Like that, the jerk at like Cold Stone Creamery trying like 4 ice creams before he has his ice cream. But now I chilled out because it just got to be like,
there's too much. It's like too much TV.
A few years ago, it was like, oh, okay, I could maybe catch all of these beers.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh no, it's never ending. Like the great breweries in New York, like they don't even repeat their beers that much. It's like,
right.
It's
constantly I'm like, wait, where's the Pen and Ale? Or like to use smaller breweries, but like, where's this? And you're like, it's gone. You don't make this anymore. And my problem with that, and I think Tapped would fuck me up a little bit, is that when I find a beer I like, I drink only that for like you know, months at a time.
And that's not possible with these breweries I'm talking about, like other half of New York, because they do like a can release every week and it's different cans. I mean, they have a couple of their classics.
Right.
But even though they're not as good because they're like come from a couple of years ago and they're getting better every week. So you can get them on tap at good bars. So this is a 5% Pilsner. This is a good Pilsner. Pilsner's not my favorite flavor in general. I don't like any lagers.
Okay.
I'm like anti-lager.
I'm into the Pilsners.
If I'm going to drink a lager, it should be a Pilsner.
Yes. Like Scrimshaw being like my intro base level.
Is that Heavy Seas?
It might be. Is that a California brewery, like a San Diego base?
Oh, I don't know. I forget. I think that might be New England, but anyway.
Yeah. Oh, so Scrimshaw was like the first like crisp Pilsner I had where I was like, ooh, I like this. What is it I like about this beer? Because I would just try like cool random beers. Then I found out Pilsners. Now I'm a big Session IPA guy, which I don't think you like.
I love Session IPAs.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, what don't you like that I really like? I forget. I think it's...
All right. I'm super opinionated and I don't like a lot of things. I don't like any lagers, including Pilsners. Like there's some Pilsners. Okay, fine.
Yeah. So that's what it is, because I love Pilsners.
The Pilsners and the Kolsch, the Pilsner and the Kolsch we've had so far, pretty good.
Yeah.
They're, you know,
those
they're
are like the kind of beers
I'm three and a half stars.
Currently into. That's kind of like where I live, is like light... sessionable beers. And that's why when I learned what a session IPA was, I was like, this is exactly what I do.
Session IPA for me is perfect for the right situation.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to get a little bit drunk, or if I really want to, and you know, and if I'm in a situation where I don't want to get drunk, like it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm on a beach.
Yeah.
Or I'm, you know, hanging out, any sort of day drinking.
Right.
Want a session IPA. Yeah. It's awesome.
That same here. Like, and living in California, I think, and being into beer, you kind of lose, there's no porter or stout season in, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I lived in New York, I was drinking porters for like 3 months.
Cold and you want to like, you know,
and it's like, doesn't feel weird to drink like a caramely porter. But in LA, when it's hot, it's like session IPA is like about as heavy as I want to get. Cause it's like,
yeah.
And I'll have like 6 of the Fell Down to Earths or whatever.
A Founders All Day IPA 15 pack is like the best deal in town.
Yeah, and canned beer, because it's like perfect for poolside and packing a cooler. And
cans
gets colder.
Are the future. Like right now, like if you want to know what beer is good, and this sounds so counterintuitive, but if you're in New York City and you're trying to find a good beer at a good bottle shop, beer shop, or a bodega, some bodegas are really good. 16-ounce cans.
Yes.
And I know you're thinking like, oh, that's like Miller Lite or Coors Light.
Yes, but the new tall boys I love the Pizza Port. Do you guys have that out?
Pizza Port is amazing. Yes. No, we don't have it in New York.
Oh, okay. But that is such a good SIPA, they have like a session IPA in a tall boy, and it's fucking great. And they're regular IPA, and I'm not an IPA guy. That's where I was into it for a long time, but now I refuse. I hate Belgians. I hate Weiss and white beers. I don't like those.
I hate all those things.
Yeah, I do not like those anymore. I can still tolerate IPAs but I can't have one or two beers. Like I need to have four or more. You know what I mean? So like having four IPAs is just like I'm full. I have a headache.
See, I can have one. Like if my wife and I are at home and the kids asleep and we're gonna watch, you know, an hour or two of Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, I can crack open one 16-ounce double IPA.
Right. And actually,
which honestly is four beers.
Right.
Almost. You know, if it's an 8% 16-ounce, I mean, it's like, you know, two and a half.
Right. It's
you
not
know, regular beer. Beers. Yeah. But yeah, I like the higher alcohol beers.
Yeah. For sure. The Belgians have gone completely, but
I've never liked Belgian beer ever.
I liked it.
They're
first.
Yeasty. They taste like bananas. It's like this really like yeasty banana thing. It took me a while to figure out. Like when I was like,
Hoegaarden tastes like bananas.
Yeah,
I agree.
When I was in my early 20s and kind of trying to get into beer and like drinking imports, like every third beer I tried, I hated it. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And it took me like 10 years to figure it out. I was like, it's Belgian yeast.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something about the yeast like in Belgium that I don't care for.
Do you like porters and stouts?
Yes. I like dark beers.
Yeah. I love dark beers.
And what about a black IPA? You ever had a black IPA?
Yes. And I really like, Uintah has a great Baba Black Sheep.
Oh, that's
Have you had
familiar.
The Uintah brewery?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like Uintah. Sorry. I know what you're talking about.
Yes. It might be Uintah. I thought it was Uintah.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah. I've had that one.
And their black lager is great.
Yeah.
I like black lagers. I like black IPAs. I like porters that are on the drinkable side, away from caramel and like chalk. You know what I mean? Some stouts and some porters get like the Marzen mouthfeel of like a Oktoberfest. Like I don't love the sweet Oktoberfest.
Like a creamy mouthfeel?
You know, like where it tastes syrupy, I think is like the best way, where it's like, is there extra flavor? Like I feel like you squeeze
like a flavor
the
shot.
Sugar flavor in there. Yeah, yeah. Now what are we opening
over? I've just opened up Stillwater Artisanal American Farmhouse Ale, wheat ale brewed with white sage.
I think we're going to not like this.
I think I'm going to hate this beer because Stillwater in general does a lot of like yeasty Belgian-y kind of stuff.
They have the 420, right? Oh no, that's Sweetwater.
Sweetwater from Georgia is totally different.
Yeah.
These guys, I think they're from New York State. I know they're from Stratford, Connecticut. But here's some words I don't like in the name of this beer. Farmhouse.
Gross, because that
down.
Saison, all that world, I do
wheat,
not like.
Thumbs
not,
down.
Thumbs down. And then...
white sage, don't know what it is, don't think I'm going to like it.
I don't want sage in like my soup, no less. I like the name and the logo, Cellar Door, that's like kind of cool.
You know what, I kind of... It smells like kind of salty, which I'm starting to have a little bit more tolerance for a sour type beer.
I don't hate sours. Okay.
I generally don't like them, but I'm starting to like, I've had a few good sours and honestly, I've had a few good Belgians too. Like,
of course.
I'm starting to like be a little less rigid.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a few Coronas that really hit the spot too, but
it's not, this is drinkable.
I'd like this more than I thought I would, but I would be... This would be one that I would finish my pint or my bottle and then not ever order it again. But I would be capable of finishing it. See, I don't like the aftertaste of these like kind of Belgian-y beers too. I have no qualms about alcohol. Like I drink straight tequila and all that stuff.
This is 6.6%, so it's a little more than the other two we've had.
You taste it a little bit on the aftertaste, though, and that's what bothers me, is that like weird beer aftertaste. I don't mind the taste of beer. I love the taste of beer. Right. But I hate when it tastes like alcohol after the fact. You know what I mean? Where it's got a little weird bite to it. So you don't like Marzen-y like Oktoberfest type beers?
No, those are I don't like malty beers.
Oh, okay.
Like I like super hoppy.
So you never liked Sam Adams?
I don't like regular old Sam Adams.
Or Yingling? No. Yingling's kind
of
malty.
Yingling's a lager, first of all.
Oh, okay.
I'll go Sam Adams Boston Lager is also a lager.
Yeah.
But Sam Adams beers are kind of malty. Right. I guess I like a balanced beer that has a little bit of malt in it. I mean, every beer has some malt, but for me, I like the super hoppy. Like what's in style right now in New York that I keep talking about, the adjectives I would use to describe, juicy, hazy. Like they honestly look like orange juice.
Right.
If you go to a good bar like Haymaker, want to give a shout out to my friend David who owns Haymaker.
Where's Haymaker?
Next door to the Magnet Theater on 29th Street.
Okay, I'm
Caddy corner to the Dunkin' Donuts I used to live above.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but it's literally the best craft beer bar in the city. And do you remember Katie Shore?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her brother-in-law opened it. He owns it. And it is David.
Katie Shore shoots all the Improv Everywhere photos, right?
No, that's Katie Sokoler. Katie Shore was a performer at UCB Theater.
Oh, she's married to Lance Rubin.
Lance Rubin's wife. Yeah. They just had a baby.
God, I love playing Jewish geography.
They just had a baby 2 days ago.
Oh, congratulations. I remember her name.
Anyway, her brother-in-law opened this beer bar and it is just the best. But if you go to a bar like that, and there's a few other great ones in the city, it looks like everybody's drinking orange juice.
Right. Like, it's that like neon colored IPA.
Yeah,
almost.
Totally opaque. You can't see through it at all. Right. Like just really cloudy and hazy.
Yeah.
And it has generally a citrus taste. The beers that I like, and you'll probably agree with this, maybe, I like beers that smell like weed.
Yes, like the dank, hoppy type beer.
Dank is like a great adjective for beer. Yeah. And a lot of West Coast beers, like Pizza Port, are super hard. Dank.
Yeah.
And I guess like the more New York style now is a little less in the dank and more on the juice and the like kind of citrusy.
And it's summertime, so that makes sense,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, this shit's year round.
Yeah.
But Pizza Port, you brought up Pizza Port. I was in a city near San Diego, maybe near Santa Barbara. Even.
Okay.
I don't know where Pizza Port's based, but they had like a restaurant, this giant pizza restaurant, and they had 30 taps, and 20 of them were IPAs or double IPAs.
I think they're based out of Carlsbad, California. I don't know exactly.
It might have been kind of close to there.
Yeah.
I know they have a couple of like brew pub locations.
Right, I'm sure.
But like, it was like, they did flights, and you know, usually you go to any bar, there's going to be a couple of double IPAs. They had 10 double IPAs, and there were 10 double IPAs that they make.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that's insane. Because there's
maybe my favorite brewer.
And then you realize in that moment, like the slight variations you can really do, like where you're like, I really like IPAs, is such a general statement.
It is now,
especially.
Yeah.
I thought that for a while, the IPAs was like a race to the hoppiest, and that started to bother me. You know,
it certainly has been. And now, so what's in style in New York now is DDH, which is double dry hopped beers.
Okay.
So dry hopping is when you like add in more hops in like the very last phase of brewing. I don't know a lot about brewing.
I know a little bit about it because I did a segment for Guy Code at the Blue Point Brewery.
Oh, cool.
And we had wet hopped beer, which was very interesting.
Yeah, wet hopped is usually like in the fall, kind of a harvest kind of beer.
Yeah, they ship the hops wet.
Yeah.
From and directly into the beer.
They're super fresh.
Yeah. It's really weird. Yeah.
But I like, I don't love like harvest fresh hop, wet hop beers as much as I like dry hop beers,
so
I guess.
Double dry hopped is
But dry hopping is just like adding in, you know, you'll see a beer listing that's like, this beer has been dry hopped with Simcoe or you know, there's like all these different hop varietals. Mm-hmm. But double dry hopped, I guess they just add in a ridiculous amount. Or they do it and they do it again.
Right.
So now like, all the New York breweries that are super cutting edge, they're re-releasing like all their beers that's now double dry hopped. Like you've had hop showers before, but now it's double dry hopped hop showers.
Okay. Yeah.
Double dry hopped all green everything.
All green everything. I've had that. Who's
that's it? Other half.
Oh, that's other half.
Other half is really the one.
What's their flagship beer? What would I know them for?
All green everything.
Cause I think I've had it.
Hop showers is theirs too. I forget the name of their session, but Other Half IPA too.
Yeah,
that's probably their flagship.
That's
you're most likely to find Other Half IPA. The other thing that's trendy now is in sort of a similar style is Lulupin powder. I think I'm saying that right, but it's like powdered hops basically. It's super super dank.
Oh.
If a beer has lupulin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
That's okay. No one expects me like listen to my accent. I don't pronounce anything correct. It's fine.
But it's it makes it like super flavorful, very aromatic, and super dank. So yeah, look for if you see that term on a bottle or a can.
Do you get so furious when you order a beer that you've never had before and they give it to you in one of those like wavy cups with like a stem? I'm like, no, I just want a pint glass always. Unless there's a specific beer.
But what do you mean by a wavy cup with a stem?
Do you know the one that they're like the little like fancy beer glasses? You know, they have like the little stem and they're like curved and it makes sense for some beers.
No,
right?
I'm totally the opposite. I'm pissed off if it's in a pint glass. I want it to be in that kind of glass.
Okay, now.
I have tulips in my apartment.
That's what I'm thinking.
I prefer it. If it's an IPA, especially a double IPA, you got to drink it out of a tulip.
And why is that? What does it do?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm not enough of a snob to really think that it makes that big of a difference.
Right.
But it just opens the beer up.
Right.
You know, I mean, just like
I'm
like,
always let down.
Do you know stemless wine glasses?
Yeah,
that is a ideal vessel for a double IPA as well.
Oh,
and
okay.
Basically, that's what the tulip is,
right?
More
right,
or less,
right, but with a stem.
Yeah, I mean, a pint glass is fine. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I like a pint glass. I like to hold a pint of beer in my hand, especially now that I'm like more into session beers. But I've been dying to get what kind of beer would you say Carton Boat Beer is? That's just like
you know, it's really funny. I've met Augie Carton. I was actually he has a beer podcast. And I was actually a guest on his podcast to talk about Two Beers In.
Oh, so Carton's name for a dude.
Yeah, Augie Carton. Very charismatic, funny guy, and he insisted that Untappd lists the style of boat as other. Like they like tried to categorize it a couple times and he keeps fighting them saying like, no, it's other. Meaning it's uncategorizable.
Right, because it kind of is. It's sort of like boat beer is the best way to explain it. It's beer you drink while you're on a boat.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not super hoppy. It's very drinkable. It's good served cold, or what's this one? Bear Bear.
That's
Finnish style sati.
That's a style I don't know. That
rye beer brewed with juniper berries. There's a good chance I'm going to hate this.
Yeah,
but I'm going to try.
Rye, I like a rye IPA. Like, ooh, that's exploded.
I'm making a mess.
Wonder why I did that. It's been sitting here for a while.
Oh, thank you. Perfect.
I wonder if there's something about that beer that would make it. Explode like that.
Maybe it's a twist off, and I did that. I doubt it's a twist.
Yeah, but like rye IPAs, I like. There's a beer called Wookiee Jack from Firestone Walker.
I've had that. It's
a black IPA, but it's rye.
Oh, okay. I'm very curious. I think I've had a couple of rye beers in my day. My hand is going to be insanely sticky for a while now. This smells so strong. This is like so embarrassing how strong that smells.
Juniper though, so it's gonna have a gin taste.
Yeah, that's the same berry from Jan.
Are you into bourbon barrel aged beers or just barrel aged beers?
No.
Oh, really?
And I love bourbon.
I love bourbon too, and I love bourbon barrel aged beers.
I think they're not what I want in beer, to be honest.
Do you feel like you're like?
I can't, like, I want to be able to have more than one.
Like you're getting blue balls because you want to just have bourbon when you have it. Or?
It's more like it's a touch. It's not sweetness that kills me on that. Like they have like a weird sweet. Are you trying not to flavor my experience? Like, because you just stone face, poker face, took a sip of that. That was what I've never seen you less expressive in your entire life. Hold on.
I actually was making an expression, but now I'll reserve it until you have it.
To be fair, I am autistic. And okay. I do not like this.
I kind of liked it. Was my expression of like surprise.
It has that banana smell to it a little bit.
Maybe. I'm not smelling a ton. I mean, I have a little bit of cold, but.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I kind of like it. I mean, it's kind of nothing. it doesn't have a lot going on, but the mouth feels like a little creamy. It's funny. It's not a super carbonated beer. I don't know why it like.
Yeah, it exploded. Maybe it was that's like why it's not
a, like a volcano when you opened it, like a Mentos and Diet Coke situation, but.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. I'm not a fan.
I think I like it because it has 7% alcohol. So, right. You know,
I'm tasting a little bit of what I don't like about bourbon and barrel aged beers and something similar. Like it's like the weird mouth taste after the fact that like, it feels like I'm puckered a little bit or something. I mean, I have no vocab to be talking about.
Select ingredients, juniper berries, wine barrel staves. What the fuck's a stave?
A piece, the wood slats that make a barrel.
Okay. So they threw some wood into this beer.
I guess like soaked, like.
Oh, you know what? The hop is Nugget, and actually that's one of my hops. I like Nugget hops. You don't see it a lot. There's a beer called Nugget Nectar.
Okay, I've had that.
Gets brewed. Yeah. My favorite beer from a couple years ago was Green Flash Imperial. And Green Flash is sort of one of those like forebearer breweries. It's not as cutting edge anymore, but it was brewed with Nugget and Summit hops. And Summit hops is a very controversial hop that you never see, but I love because it tastes like onion and garlic.
Oh, interesting.
It's like smells like, and I don't even really.
Do you know any other beers that would have it? I know I'm requesting a lot. Off the top
there's
of
a head. Beer called Deviant Dales that had it for a while by Oscar Blues. And they
Do you know what? Oscar Blues' Session IPA is one of my favorite beers. The
Pinner. Oh, yeah. Pinner. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And it's like
a solid session.
And I love a good weed reference in a beer.
Oh, is Pinner a weed reference?
A Pinner is like a super thin joint or blunt. And on the
perfect.
On the can it says, and a Pinner, you would roll a Pinner to like get high quick at the beach because it'll burn fast and get rid of it.
Yeah.
And on the oh my God.
Yeah.
Now I can talk. On the can of Pinner it says sip sip pass, like puff puff pass, and it says can I be blunt with a question mark? So I think they're really leaning into it, and they are a Colorado-based brewery, right, Oscar?
Yeah, they are. They actually opened a brewery in Asheville, North Carolina as well.
Oh.
And my cousin Colin had his bachelor party in Asheville, and it was a beer bachelor party.
Oh, that's really fun.
It was awesome. We went to Oscar Blues.
He's your other beer nut from Tapped, right?
Yeah, he's like my main Untappd friend. But we went to
he's my main friend on Untappd.
Yeah, he and his
brother, my cousin.
He and his brother, who's also my cousin. But yeah, so we went to Oscar Blues. We went to Sierra Nevada. Open up there, like a lot of West Coast brewers, like open up an East Coast outpost.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you just should. For distribution wise,
right? And distribution wise, and it's like if you live in New York and are a diehard Sierra Nevada fan, you might not ever get to Montecito, but you might scoot down to. You might scoot down to North Carolina.
Yeah, totally.
I like the Sierra Nevada's. My favorite beer Sierra Nevada ever did was their porter, and it used to be on tap at B61, my old hangout in Brooklyn.
That's a weird beer because it's been around for forever, Sierra Nevada's porter, but it's somewhat rare to see.
It's like it's very rare.
It has
to
no name. It's just called porter.
Yeah,
and they have a stout too.
Yeah, like well, their pale ale is just called pale ale.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But the other stuff starts to get names like Torpedo and Celebration and stuff.
This beer smells crazy. What is this beer, John?
This is Morningwood Ale with natural flavor added. Oak-aged coffee amber. This sounds awful.
It's local very coffee. Option.
This ale is brewed with only the finest ingredients of malt, hops, yeast, water, thyme, and temperature. 7.3%.
What is your take on coffee and beer?
I don't hate it. I've had a few good ones. I think it was at what's the name of the Highland Park Brewery? It's called Highland Park Brewery in California. It's got kind of a good one. I did someone's beer podcast there one time.
Yeah.
And I got to try a bunch of stuff, and they had a stout brewed with Stumptown, cold brew.
Yeah.
And it was very good. And they were like, this is like not a coffee flavored beer. This is coffee and beer. Like, this has legit caffeine in it. You drink one with like breakfast. And it was fucking nice. It was like made coffee refreshing.
There's a lot of beers that just straight up are coffee.
Right. Yeah. But I hate and this is true for me for coffee too. I love coffee, but I hate coffee that tastes like it's been flavored. And I think, and that's so rare anymore, but beer that has like fake coffee flavoring, I'm not a fan.
I don't drink caffeine. Except for beer. Like I gave up soda cause I didn't want to get fat. And, and
I switched soda out with beer and now I'm the healthiest I've ever been.
Yeah. I drink so much beer, which is why
I can't add soda. Oh, actually I hate this less than I thought I would.
It's pretty good.
It's porter adjacent.
I gave up soda like 10 years ago. Stopped drinking a Coke at lunch or whatever. And I'm not a coffee drinker. So there's been a couple times where I've had a beer with coffee in it, and then I couldn't go to sleep.
And you had like legit caffeine. Because
my body's like, you haven't had caffeine in 10 years. Like, what are you doing?
I might actually take another splash of this. I kind of dig this.
Like a coffee stout, I avoid because I don't want to. Like I won't drink it after like 8 p.m. or whatever because it will keep me up.
But that's a good brunch beer.
Yeah,
as much as you kind of want like light and crisp in the morning, I think a coffee stout obviously makes sense too.
That's a good idea. Maybe if I want to get into like drinking coffee in the morning, I'll just start drinking coffee stouts. At 8
a.m. I'm sure your wife would be ecstatic to see you smashing a beer. It's like, babe, it's got coffee in it. I got to go to work, get in a car. Like,
this is pretty solid. I'm actually not disliking this,
and this has all markers that I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like malt, hops, yeast.
We should have a third mug in here so Nick can add some.
We're totally this is very rude.
Remind me to get an Instagram of all the beers so that when I post that Charlie's on, I don't even have to put a picture of him up. I'll just plug this.
Well, I've got to take a picture of this so I can remember them all to check into them on my beer app.
Yeah, dog. Got a big train ride coming up. I'm going to be able to write down all the beers I've had.
Okay, this is Against the Grain Brewery. I'm opening another one. This is Lager with Blood Orange.
Sounds like you're going to hate it.
I don't like lagers. And you know what I don't like is I don't like fruit beers. And I don't like the trend of like, here's a beer that we've been making for a while that now we're throwing a fruit on it.
Yes, like, I do not like that.
You know, like, I mean, Sculpin, Grapefruit Sculpin, people like.
Right.
From Ballast Point. And it's fine.
I like their California Kolsch is good too.
But like, for me, it's like, great. It's like, it's a beer and you threw some orange peels in it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. And now it tastes like, I don't know.
I used to hate that shit. Sam Summer. I used to really like.
I don't love beers with the word summer in it. Like,
you
that's
don't,
like
right?
a trigger word for me.
But I used to, but now I think they're too citrusy.
Yeah.
I used to like that they were like pilsners with a light grapefruit kiss or something. But now it's like you're drinking a fucking pina colada more, you know?
But there's breweries that are like, now it's this beer, but it's mango.
Right. You know? And it reeks of like, you feel like your own uncle when you're like, what are they putting peaches in these beers now? You know, you fall asleep. Dennis Leary used to have that bit like, Pete's Wicked Ale? Who's Pete? Fuck Pete. Give me a shot of whiskey. Clang. You know, I remember that bit so specifically.
And then he turned into a Republican.
Yeah. Of course he did. He sounded like it his whole life. Yeah.
Well, like Dogfish Head is a great example. Like, I respect them. Like 60-minute IPA and 90-minute IPA were definitely like.
What's their Gonzo Porter? Is that it? I love that.
That might be Flying Dog.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I am thinking of Flying Dog. Who'd you say?
Dogfish Head. Dogfish Head is Delaware. You're thinking of the Maryland's Flying Dog.
All right, yes.
Same region.
I like Flying Dog more than Dogfish Head.
But
Dogfish Head is like the plain labels, right?
I think they've redone a new graphic design.
Oh, okay.
But every Dogfish Head beer, it's like, a good idea for a beer, plus peaches and olives.
I feel like I remember Dogfish Head when I was not into it was like 60-minute IPA, 90-minute IPA, and 120-minute IPA.
Do you know how much alcohol is in 120-minute IPA?
No.
Generally, it's different every year, but around 18%.
Jesus Christ, it's stronger than wine.
They opened up there's a beer franchise called World of Beer, started down in Tampa, Florida, and they opened one on 8th Avenue and 26th Street.
Wait, what's a beer franchise?
Meaning it's like an Applebee's, like it's
it's like a bar you can go to.
Yeah, there's a bar called World of Beer that started in Tampa and spread throughout the Southeast, and then they opened one on 8th Avenue and between 26th and 25th across from UCB.
No way.
And I was like, this is amazing. It's one of those places like we have 100 taps and 10,000 bottles or whatever.
And you're just like, I still can't find something.
It was also like being, the atmosphere was like a BW3, like Buffalo Wild Wings. Like it was just like shitty, like 40 televisions.
That's not what I want.
It was, and it failed. It was only there for about a year.
Oh, because that feels like they had it. McManus should have been shaking in their boots, but instead,
like a great bar right across from UCB would kill. But, anyway, there was someone, a girl from UCB on the team that's after my team, like went there one night and like ordered Dogfish Head 120, not knowing what she was getting. And then the bill came and it was like, they charged her $20 for the bottle, 12 ounce bottle, which is not unreasonable. Like if you buy it in Whole Foods, it's probably like 10 or 11 bucks for a 12 ounce bottle because it's 18% alcohol. But she was like, yeah, I got drunk.
Getting drunk for 20 bucks is a good deal.
So I don't like this beer. Again, this is Against the Grain, Bloody Show. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Is that a period reference? Bloody Show? I don't know.
A tribute to the language barrier from international collaboration and inspired by our affinity for Danish runners, scarves, and shorts, this Bloody Show is a crisp, tart pilsner drenched with the juice and zest of blood oranges. The result is a freshing tart lager with citrus aroma worthy of even the hippest of Danish drinkers.
You know what? It's fine. I mean, it's not that bad. It's a lager with a little citrus. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but I am not enjoying it.
I would never seek it out.
Yes,
okay,
no.
This last beer, I wanted to power through this beer. I'm really fucking excited about this.
Yeah, that's
because
exciting.
Because I am like, I'm kind of amazed. Mess over here. So this is Evil Twin. So let me tell you briefly about Evil Twin.
Please do.
There was two twin brothers in Copenhagen who opened a brewery.
I'm rinsing my glass with cold.
Who opened a brewery called Mikkeller. And I've been to Copenhagen. I went to their bar. They're awesome. And there's a bar in, I'll get to that in a second. But anyway, two brothers, Mikkeller is the name of the brewery. One of the brothers broke off and started his own brewery, and he named it Evil Twin. And they do not like each other.
What?
Yeah, there's two twin brothers that hate each other, and one was like, fuck you, I'm stealing all the recipes, I'm starting my own brewery,
and
it's called Evil Twin.
I don't know any twins that aren't friends.
These guys don't speak.
That's crazy to me.
And this guy, the evil twin, opened up. I don't think he has a brewery. He's like a contract brewer, also known as Gypsy Brewer. Like he just brews at other people's facilities.
So like you can get like an evil twin type beer at. You can get evil twin brought to you by Kelso.
Yeah, whatever. He just makes it at different people's facilities. He rents the tanks or whatever. But there's a good bar in Greenpoint, not far from here, called Torst that the evil twin guy owns.
Oh,
super cool beer bar. But anyway, he makes great stuff. Mikkeller also makes great stuff. I think Mikkeller now has a California brewery as well.
Oh, cool.
So the brothers don't get along, but they both make good beers. But Evil Twin has a beer called Yen, which we're about to drink, which is, it says here, Imperial Taji Stout. I don't know what the fuck the word Taji means. But
I would imagine like Japanese hops or something
seems
like
Japanese.
That. Yeah, because it's called Yin, like one half of Yin and Yang.
So they also have, they also have a beer called Yang, which is an IPA. So they have a stout and an IPA. Yin,
and is that
Yin
IPA
and Yang.
Light colored? Because it would make sense that they would make a black and tan out of it, right?
So exactly. So they sometimes will brew Yin and Yang together. They'll mix them together.
Oh,
but
shit.
What I did this a couple of years ago, and a lot of beer fans will do this, is you buy Yin, you buy Yang, and you make it into a black and tan. You mix them together.
Oh, I love a good black and tan.
And but a black and tan with two 10% alcohol beers is so this is 10%. Most of Evil Twin like LLC, here it is, distributed by 12% LLC, Brooklyn, New York. So 12% is the name of their LLC because
they're high octane.
Most of their beers are 12%.
Jesus.
So here's what's unique about this.
Yeah, so tell me, this is Yin, and it's an Imperial Porter. So it's like
an Imperial Stout.
Oh, Imperial Stout.
Right, high alcohol stout, 10%. I think I'm going to love
it. What does Imperial mean? Because I know that's
Imperial
like,
in general means
more alcohol. Right,
so like an Imperial IPA is a synonym for a double IPA.
It's
More alcohol than normal. But it's funny, like there's some brewers that'll get cute and be like, it's an Imperial Session IPA.
Yeah.
It's like 6% instead of 4.5%. Like, well, that's just an IPA.
Now you're making an IPA, yeah.
Here's what the description says. This is one half of a Black and Tan. Not just any Black and Tan, but the one where a toasted smug and a hoppy fella get together to make a sublime tadgy balance. Anyway, the thing that I'm excited about is the bottled on date, which, by the way, I don't think Evil Twin puts dates in their bottles anymore, which drives me crazy. I could go on a whole rant about the fact that most brewers don't put born on dates.
And they should.
It's like that is the
because you can't trust distributors. You can't trust
the number one problem with beer right now is that people don't put dates on beers, and people and most consumers aren't aware that if you have an IPA, especially a double IPA, you need to drink it within 2 months.
Or really?
It is a different beer and it fucking sucks.
I didn't know
Session IPA a little bit less, but still, like if I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to buy a 30 pack of All Day Founders IPA to take on a beach trip or whatever, I want it within the last month.
I want to go on that beach trip where we're drinking all day.
Come to South Carolina next summer.
I'll just be there.
But no, it's so for certain styles of beers, hoppy beers, IPAs, double IPAs, you want to drink it as fresh as possible. If you're at the brewery and it came out yesterday,
that's
you're
ideal.
In heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
But for stouts, aging it is good.
Oh, interesting.
They open up, they taste a little bit different. And this brewery bothers me because they don't have bottled on dates. This bottle has a date, which, and I don't think I've ever seen an Evil Twin bottle with a date on it. And the date is 12/30/13.
So it's the end of 2013.
That's 4.5 years ago. So, and a lot of times if I'm down in South Carolina and I'm in a bottle shop, there's a couple that I go to when I'm at the beach that there's one that's like, it's kind of shitty. Like they don't move a lot of product because most people are just buying the Coors Light and leaving.
Right.
And I've gone there and been like, holy shit, they have a Founders Imperial Stout that's 3 years old. They also have one that's 2 years old and one that's 1 year old. And I'll buy all three. It's called a vertical. So like,
Then
like, you know, my cousin and I in the same night will be like, let's have the 2013 and the 2014 and 2015. And see how it's different. So people will buy beers like this that we're about to drink and they'll age them on purpose. So like this would be a prized possession of someone's cellar. Like I've got a 4.5-year-old yen in my cellar.
That's crazy. And this is solely because we just sent Marika from Headgum.
You guys bought a four and a half year old beer. Yeah.
And it smells great.
Yeah. Super like definitely if there were any hops in it, they probably would be dead by now because you know, hops kind of fade away.
Oh man, that is wildly smooth for 10%.
For 10%, definitely it's going down easy.
Yeah, this
it's sweet.
It's a little sweet, but bitter too because of the strong. Like there's a strong
because it's got 10% alcohol.
Right, still, and honestly,
ooh, it's got kind of a smoke on the end.
I was about to say the smokiness makes it closer to porter in flavor profile than a stout.
Well, you know that is?
I don't know the difference between stout and
a
porter.
A stout is a strong porter.
A strong porter?
That's all it is.
Oh, I always assumed that a stout was like a flatter porter because in my head, Guinness is like the, you know, epitome.
Well, Guinness is an Irish dry stout.
Right.
Which is a different thing.
Oh, okay.
So that's sort of like creamy, like Guinness is a nitro beer.
Yes.
Right? So nitro is with nitrogen and not oxygen or carbon dioxide, whatever it is.
It's CO2. But, carbon dioxide. So it's like when you get a nitro, because nitro coffee is popular now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I walk by the Starbucks on the way here.
Get the nitro cold brew and it's cold brew through a nitrogen tank and gives it like a head.
Yeah.
Dude, I love Guinness is so like once you've got the taste for it, it's the most sessionable beer.
Yeah, because it has no alcohol in it.
Right, and it doesn't, and it has no carbonation, that much carbonation, so you're not getting like burpy or full.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit, I gotta, and then you're like, oh, of course this is the drink of Ireland. Like,
it's sessionable.
You can have 15 and like go to work.
Yeah, I mean, because like back in the day in like high school, like I always thought like, oh, Guinness, man, that's like, it's like having a milkshake.
Right.
It's like super.
And it sounds like it's like you're drinking a loaf of bread. It's like all this shit.
But it's actually low in calories.
Yeah.
And low in, probably.
High in vitamin G.
Because. Is vitamin G really a vitamin?
No, but that was a poster they used to have that I was obsessed with. Like, they just made up a vitamin G for Guinness, and they were like, we're loaded with vitamin G.
Yeah,
I like this.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good. I mean,
I would be pissed if like I got this as my first beer at like 5 p.m. after work. Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, oh, no.
We've sort of accidentally went from like low alcohol to high alcohol. Now I'm a little bit drunk, and I've got to give a presentation in an hour.
I'm slightly buzzed, and I got to do another podcast after this, then go to dinner.
I'm gonna sip this and eat some food before I have to work.
Yeah,
but,
smart move. Yeah, I'm getting a little hot faced. I mean, it is hot in this room, but I'm also starting to get hot faced.
Yeah, this is good.
A few times I've stumbled across like a session porter, and I think that is like for like not the summer and. Like,
because porters aren't necessarily particularly high in alcohol, but they're probably not. Like 6%.
They're 6% right? or something. But the ones that aren't sweet, that are like smoky or bitter more than sweet, that's like the dream porter.
There's a style Rauschbier, which is a German style, and we were in a German city, my wife Cody and I, and had it they brew it like on top of where they're like cooking bacon basically, and it like it's like
Ryan, this is right my
if
wheel.
You ever see Rauschbier, Rauch, it's like bacon beer. And it
fucking
definitely
awesome.
Tastes like bacon. Yeah. Super smoky bacon. I don't really like smoky beers.
Oh, I like the smoke flavor as long as it doesn't taste like artificial smoke flavor.
Sometimes it tastes like a little ashtray.
Yes.
And this just has like a tiny smoke at the end that's like, all right.
Yeah, no, and it actually like cuts what I think would make it taste sweet and a little too tart. Yeah. And I like that smokiness at the end.
Yeah.
But I am going to have to switch back to a Pilsner or a Kolsch to like...
Yeah.
Because I feel like my mouth is getting like chalky from drinking this.
But I like... To me, like 8% is sort of my target. Like 7.5%. Really like 8 to 9 is what I like to drink.
See, I like the slightly lower, slightly lighter. I can have 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like... I'm going to have 2 of these 8% beers and that's great.
Who makes... The Hammerhead IPA or the Hammer...
I don't know that.
Red Hook Brewery. Red Hook.
Longhammer.
Longhammer. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. They had a crushable ale, and which I'm forgetting the name of
Audible or
the
something?
Audible.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that. I drank bottles of Audible for like fucking years. Like,
you know what's really funny? I was at a beer festival once, and Red Hook was there, and I was talking to the guy from the brewery who was there, and Audible Ale, they created specifically to be a gateway beer... From Bud Light, Coors Light to good beer,
right? And like it makes total sense
because I think it is kind of a light lager, but it's better.
It has more flavor. It's like the definition of a good session beer. It's like you're drinking what tastes like a very good Miller Lite, and it's great fucking ice cold. Fuller's All Day IPA. Hold on, that's Founders.
Yeah.
Fuller's is ESB, is the British company.
Oh yeah,
they're
sure.
Extra special bitter. That one is fantastic as well. We're coming towards the end here. Let's just like throw out some of our because like, what's your beer that you're visiting your in-laws, you're going out to some restaurant, and you're like, what beer are you like? This will probably be on the menu. Thank God, I'll get this.
Here's what's the great thing about beer right now is that. I'm going to get these numbers totally wrong and I'm going to make them up.
Right.
But
please do.
In 1900, there was like 1,000 breweries in the United States. And in like 1979, there were like 20.
Right.
And now there's 1,000 again.
Right.
Numbers are wrong. But generally, that is the curve. Yeah, that like every local town 100 years ago had their own brewery. And then everything consolidated to Bud Miller Coors. And that was it. And now it's exploding, like not just in LA and New York, but my in-laws are in Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio has amazing beer. They have amazing breweries.
Yeah.
And every town... Every state at least has a brewer that's trying to do like the New England style or trying to do the West Coast IPA style.
Or there's I say shitty because it's just not as high quality as other places, but like you go to Peekskill, New York, and there's the Peekskill Brewery, and it's like they're doing their own local brews
it's
at least.
Like whenever it's made like traveling so much more interesting. Like it used to be like, oh, I'm in Europe, I'm trying all these German beers. Fuck that. I don't want German beers.
I wish I was on Torco again now, right?
Yeah,
don't you wish you were the age to do Torco?
Exactly.
Go to these college towns and be like, oh, I'll take this for blah, blah,
I had like a speaking engagement in St. Louis a year ago, and this is like the peak Charlie Todd, is that I was in St. Louis. They had a bike share program. I signed up for their bike share program, and I rode my bike to 4 different local breweries and got drunk. And it was like the best night of my life by myself.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I've had better nights with other people, my wife mostly, but you know, it was like, this is it, man.
I did all that, and then there was like a wrestling based improv show that I stopped by, and then I had the most Charlie Todd night of my life.
But I mean, that like in terms of like takeaway. From this podcast, Gabrus, and I know you like to really educate people and
I like to educate from below,
but I would say like, you know, if wherever you are, drink local, whether you're in your own town or you're traveling, find out what the local brewery is,
nothing more than finding out, I'm like, oh, what's this brewery, and they're like, oh, it's just like 2 towns away. I'm like, All right, cool. And you have three different beers from there?
Go to a brewery, order a flight, get four-ounce pours, see what you like. You know, try not to just, you know. But we didn't even get into, like, the whole sellout thing, but that's what's sort of fascinating with beer
that's
right now.
That's what's pissing you off right now a lot.
It's not. It's actually not pissing me off. It's like, to me, as a guy that went to high school in the late 90s, like, it's very similar to like watching your favorite band join a major label in the 90s. It was like, oh man.
I can only imagine how you felt when Pavement did that.
Like they stayed at Matador, but Matador got bought.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway, but it was like, oh man, Dinosaur Jr.'s on a major label and really Smashing Pumpkins is going to go.
This is how I felt when everyone started playing D&D.
Right.
Like, come on. You know,
this is my thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's the same thing. It's like, well, as long as the music isn't going to change, I'm happy for them. They're going to get more money.
Right.
More people are going to enjoy it. That's good.
Yeah,
you know, even though I thought it was my thing. But that's how I feel when it's like, really? Like, you know, Lagunitas got bought, you know, has 49% of it is Heineken now. Like, that sucks. Shit. But if little something something is on every tap in every bar, then that's great.
Yeah, if I can now, if the shitty hotel or chain restaurant I'm going to has Lagunitas, their session IPA is great too.
Oh, yeah, Daytime Fractional.
Yes, that's a good one too.
They have whatever they put, I think it's their yeast formula or their hop formula or whatever. Like, my cousin Todd, he's always
talking.
What's
his last name? Oh, you don't have to say his last name, but it's not Todd, is it?
No. His last name is Robertson, but my last name is Todd. Right. He's named after his mother's maiden name.
Okay, good. Because if you had a cousin named Todd, I would never release this episode and only have him on.
Todd. No, I got to give a shout out to Todd Robertson and Colin Robertson, my two cousins who are my beer friends.
That's awesome. I got to shout out Brian Sanford, who gets shouted out all the time as my beer snob friend.
But Todd told me one time, like, Lagunitas, I can't stand them. All their beers taste the same. And my response is, I love them. All their beers taste the same. Like, I agree, but there's just like...
Know you're drinking a Lagunitas.
Yeah, certain brewers have like something in their... Whatever their master formula is, whether it's yeast or hops, I'm not smart enough to know, but it's like... Yeah, whatever it is, even if it's kind of like not my style, it's got that little Lagunitas thing in it. But it is interesting. It's like, they sold out. They got a ton of money. Good for them. I'm happy for them.
Please let the beer just stay the same.
You know,
don't get Ray Kroc'd like the McDonald's brothers.
As long as they don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So some of my favorite beers that I'm excited to try to get in any moment are the Carton Boat beer.
Yep.
Founders All Day IPA, great one.
Yeah.
What's the session from the 21st Amendment one? Fell down to the earth
down,
or
down to earth?
Down
maybe.
To earth is a good one.
That's good.
I really like the Oscar Blues Pinner is a great one. Oscar Blues Mama Yellow Pills is good too.
I hate that beer.
Of course,
that's kind of Belgian-y. I'm surprised you like it.
It's tolerable and it comes in cans, which is exciting.
Another tip. For the listener, drink beer in cans.
Get canned beer, especially summertime. I'm a big proponent, and it's going to sound corny, but no glass by the pool. I'm sorry.
Glass is not allowed in the pool. It's not allowed on the beach, guys.
Get it out of there. And seriously, because if you, even in your own house, if you break a glass in your pool, you will cut your feet for 5 years on it.
Oh,
as
really?
Someone who's like worked at a pool my whole life, you can't find it all.
Yeah.
It just stays on the bottom. Like it's
it doesn't
really,
just go down the drain.
It does. It's glass. Yeah, it just stays there, and it's like you can't see it. And so cans by the pool.
But
side.
We alluded to this and didn't fully explain. But like beer hates light. Like sunlight makes beer go skunky,
and that's why green glass.
That's why green fucking Heineken bottles are the worst. Brown bottles a little bit better. Cans the best. And we all sort of think like cans, like Heineken beer is premium. Cans is like shitty.
It used to be like canned beer was shit. And now also we're
the
not
best beers in cans.
Cans is more renewable and more earth friendly than bottles as well. And then on top of it, cans are safe. You can shrink them down. Your cooler is markedly lighter when you leave the beach.
If it's all cans, pack it out.
Exactly. Oh, fuck. Now I'm really pumped to start drinking. I'm going to drink beer all night long now, too. I don't really drink as much beer as I used to because I think I have something with gluten.
Oh, no.
I used to just have diarrhea every day for my entire life.
That's my worst nightmare, that I'll get some kind of gluten thing and I can't drink beer.
Yeah, and I totally was like, it can't be beer. And then I like switched to drinking like tequila and soda, and I was like... I'm doing so much better the next day.
Better.
My shits got better. My hangovers disappeared, even though I was just as drunk. And I was like, fuck. I still drink beer all the time.
You hit a certain age and you drink a lot of beer, the next morning is a little rough.
Yeah, it's just goat. And but like that's life now. Like if I have a dinner that I'm excited about the next day, I'm like, I need to wake up an hour earlier to get to the office on time. Charlie, we can wrap this up here. Are there any other beers? Like I threw out like five. Is there any like just you can shout out some of the purveyors, like stuff you're really digging?
I mean, breweries I love. I probably already mentioned them, but Other Half, Innerborough, Long Island City, LIC Beer Project, Single Cut, Grimm. These are all amazing brewers in the New York City area. In terms of like the more national ones, like, you know, Stone still does good stuff.
Stone does great shit. Yeah, I love Uintah. It's got some great stuff.
Yeah.
Montecito has like the Red Hot, like they have like the bird named beers.
The ones with the eagles on the
bottles. Yeah, those are some of those are really good.
Yeah, Founders is great.
Founders is fucking awesome.
Half of these breweries have half sold out, but
right.
You know.
That doesn't mean they're bad though. Yeah. Necessarily.
No, it doesn't.
Charlie, where can people tweet? Like, what's your Twitter handle?
So I am at Charlie Todd on Twitter. Tweet at me and tell me what beer we should have talked about or what beer I got wrong.
Yeah.
And
tell people about Improv Everywhere.
Yeah, so Improv Everywhere, if you don't know, is a YouTube channel that I run and a production company I run here in New York where we do scenes of chaos and joy in public places. We did the Grand Central Freeze where we had 200 people freeze in place for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
Grand
you
Central.
Do the MP3 experiments, probably one of your big things.
MP3
too.
Experiment where people are listening to instructions via our iPhone app in a public space together. So I do all kinds of crazy shit.
So check out Improv, because some of the shit you guys do is fuck. Like, I love all the stuff you guys have been doing. And I feel like it's crazy. I don't know anyone who's doing that same thing that they were doing 10 years ago.
It's a very specific,
but you're keeping it fresh and keeping it alive, which is crazy.
It's a specific niche I created, which is like surprising and delighting people in public spaces. And, you know, I end up directing a lot of shit because of that, which is great.
Well, on a like possibly diminishing like explanation, it's like positive pranks in a weird way. Yeah, it's like a way to phrase it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I just look, because I'm a big fan of like high production value going into something silly. And I think that's like a big.
I love spending so much time on something that only like two people are going to love.
I know. And then finding out that when you film it, it's huge. You know what I mean? One of the best examples is the wedding reception for the City Hall
people. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
That's like one of my. I mean, it's the one that is just the clearest, like, this is a solid. Great idea.
To explain that, I approached a random couple who had just gotten married at City Hall, you know, just like a small private.
Like
you
them
know.
And their parents. Like
yeah,
a classic,
them and their
like,
parents. Then I said, hey, I'm with Mayor Bloomberg, because it was a few years ago. We're giving free wedding receptions to one lucky couple a day. Do you want one? And then across the street, we had a big tent set up and we had like eight bridesmaids and eight groomsmen.
And you had
DJ.
Best man speech. You had a maid of honor.
For two random people.
First dance.
Yeah.
It's like, that's.
And
like,
I loved it.
That's the most fun. Like, that is. Those people who film their fucking proposals and shit now is like, that's all started with IE, I think. Like,
yeah,
all that
thanks.
Shit of like filming positive things serendipitously is like.
And the other thing I want to plug is the Two Beers In podcast.
Yes, please.
If you're interested in politics and you're liberal, if you're conservative, you might not like it.
Yeah.
And
if you listen to my podcast, you might not have thought about politics in the last decade. But check out Charlie and your wife hosts that with you too.
Yeah,
right?
Cody Lindquist, my wife. We host it's called the Two Beers In podcast. Check it out on iTunes.
But I think my listeners might like the idea of smashing two beers and then talking about politics.
It's, I mean, the level of tipsiness we are now after sampling all these beers is how we start the podcast.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
And I will, I want to do that next time I'm in town.
Us know. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Charlie, thank you so much. As always, I'm at John Gabris on Twitter. No H's. Tweet at me and Charlie your favorite beer, especially your local like beers, so that we know when we hit your town or near your town to try those out. Tweet at us any beers we forgot or if you heard the things that we like, give us recommendations of something similar. And as always, you can buy a t-shirt at gabris.com/shirts. And I think that's about all I got going on in my life right now. So bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.